If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Born and raised in Kansas City, he's followed the Chiefs his entire life. He has seen every single home playoff win. That's right, all five of them.
How long are we going to do this?
30 years later, he's still following the Chiefs. Except now, he gets paid to do it. He's our Chiefs insider, Nate Taylor of The Athletic, on the program.
That's right, Nate Taylor from The Athletic, Chiefs beat writer, with us here on the program. I guess the big voice guy just said that. Nate Taylor brought to you by our friends at Family Leisure, K10 and Ridgeview. Get there today. Listen, do you have a man cave? Then you need a lot of great fun things in it, whether that's theater seats, bar stools, whether that's shuffleboard, pool tables, poker tables, whether that's some great, maybe it's patio furniture. Listen, it's going to be beautiful weather in Kansas City like we've got here in Arizona. The patio furniture, nobody does a better job. If it's family and it's fun, it's Family Leisure. They're at K10 in Ridgeview. Find them online at familyleisure.com. Locally owned and operated right here in Kansas City, K10 and Ridgeview. Go see my guys and let them know I'm coming. I need a poker table. It's what I need next. And I will be out there. Such a great laundry list. Gaming chairs. Royals and Chiefs themed gaming chairs. I want one of those as my office chair on my list to-do's at Family Leisure. You can go see them today. Also heard Twin Peaks Happy Hour. You know, they're going to have the big Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury fight coming up this weekend. I know everybody's getting excited for some boxing. That is on the 22nd. First fight I can remember in a long time that everybody is fired up about. It'll be on at Twin Peaks. They are your fight headquarters, whether it's MMA or boxing. Twin Peaks has you covered, and they'll have that fight coming up on the 22nd. Always a great place to go to watch games. You're looking for a place to watch Rock Chalk Jayhawk, even though they're 16-point favorites over Iowa State tonight. Twin Peaks, it's the spots. Drinks, eats, scenic views. It's all at Twin Peaks. Go see them today. Nate Taylor is with us back in the studio. Nate, how are you, my friend?
It's 60 degrees. I'm incredibly happy.
Yeah. Is it really that warm back there? I hadn't looked. That's awesome.
I'm wearing a T-shirt. No jacket.
Yeah.
You know, I could actually order iced coffee and not get a weird look from the barista today. No, I'm good. You know, I've taken some bit of a break. And, you know, it's crazy for me to think that next week I'll be in Indianapolis for the combine. But that's where we are.
It is. It is where we are. And let's talk a little bit about that since you brought it up. Let's talk about where the Chiefs need to go. We've seen that Brett Veach is one that has tended to be quite aggressive and always moving up. Are we going to see more of the same this year for the Chiefs as they try to put together the repeat championship club?
Yeah, I remember we specifically talked about this right before the NFL trading deadline back, in late October, when I told you, like, don't expect a move because, like, you know, Clark Hunt would like to take somebody in the first round this year. You know, they haven't taken a first-round pick since Patrick Mahomes. And, hey, you get that fifth-year option if you take a player in the first round of the draft. So I think unless something unusual happens, they'll stay at 32. I think there's more of a chance they can move back from 32, which I know would make you very happy, taking that sort of Bill Belichick New England Patriots model of like, hey, we're 32. Why don't we move back 8 spots, take somebody at 40 who's maybe just as good at 32 based on need and where we are in terms of salary cap structure. But I think they're going to try to stay at 32 unless somebody really blows the doors off, whether moving up or down.
And I think, you know, more than any other spot, it's the last pick of the first round.
Yep.
Best player available has to be the topic of conversation, right? I mean, you can't be forcing a need there, although I think the Chiefs have clearly made their moves based upon needs over the last couple of years with Brett Veach at the helm. Mm-hmm. First, it was to go get Breland Speaks.
Yep.
And then last year was to go get Mecole Hardman.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're going to continue that approach,
right,
what's the biggest need? What's he moving up to go get?
That's a really good question because I kind of go back and forth But looking at, like, you know, like we discussed last week, like, I would advise anyone, much like you suggested, like, go to overthecap.com, look at the 2020 and the 2021 tab. But based on all of that and sort of the tiers of positions that I've kind of heard around the league, linebacker seems interesting to me, because they probably need a little bit more speed while also having someone who can play all three downs, because the only guy who can do that is Anthony Hitchens, but even he didn't really do that last year. And so I go back between, like, hey, maybe you do linebacker. Hey, maybe you do best offensive lineman available, because if you look at everybody, those, you know, we've already mentioned the interior line, you know, sort of issues, the inconsistency they showed last year up until the very end of the season. And also, guys are going to get older as we move on, specifically into 2021. You could always go get another receiver, because there's so many good receivers this year. But I would say right now, I would think more about the linebacker position, regardless of what you do with Chris Jones, like we mentioned last week. I'm assuming we're going to talk about him this week and moving forward until we know what his futures, what the clarity is with his sort of situation.
Yeah, and I think they know. We had Brett Veach on right after the Super Bowl, yep. And he said, you know, they've discussed several different paths that they can take in free agency. So, you know, they know that there's not just one route, and there's probably a path with Chris Jones. I'm sure there is a path with Chris Jones. I just don't know that it's one that realistically could occur, you know, based upon the dollars that Chris Jones may want,
right,
and may now absolutely be able to get. It's one of the reasons why, you know, we've stated it many times, but I think another reason where his agents made a big mistake were not looking at what this year was going to be. Not having a good sense of what the pass rush was going to look like in the draft, what the pass rush was going to look like in free agency. This has always been the best time to maximize his spot.
Yep.
And, you know, we heard, whether there's any truth to it or not, we heard Steve Spagnuolo say a couple of times during the year, well, remember he missed, you know, minicamp and OTAs. Like, that was maybe part of the reason why it didn't come together a little bit quicker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for a defense,
mm-hmm.
What if he had done that? What if he had been at mini camps and OTAs? Does he have another 13 and a half sack season? Or what was it, 15? Did he get to 15 last year? I think it was 15 and a half. Does he have another season like that? And then where would his number be this year? Like, this year's season was a really good one in comparison, you know, when you consider that he missed some games and everything.
Yeah.
It validated what he did last year, but it didn't add on to what he did last year. And, you know, I think that was a miscalculation. It's water under the bridge. I get it. But I think it's something to keep in mind and to consider as we move forward looking at other players in this kind of this type of situation. But I think now with how thin it is out there with the pass rush, that I don't see the scenario that has him coming back.
Especially if a team is willing to depart a first-round pick, right? I mean, that's sort of the starting rate if you're going to franchise him, just so that you can keep his rights. And then you can decide whether you want to give him a long-term deal. Or if somebody says, hey, I'm going to give you a first and a high third, or a first and a player back that could help you from a cap situation. I mean, that would be, I think, the starting point in all of this. And, you know, looking at his stats, he had 15 and a half sacks last year, which, I mean, I was at all those games, and it's still, like, wildly impressive. This year he had 9 sacks, but I feel like he was more impactful just because he was more willing to do some of the dirty work that he had not shown on tape in previous years. So he's developed well, but you're right. Maybe he plays, you know, 14, 15 games this season if he isn't OTAs, if there isn't, you know, a need for him to get back to football shape quicker, because he really didn't participate much at all in preseason, you know, which I think a lot of people forget too. Like, he came back the first day of training camp, but they really slowly built him along up to the season. And then, unfortunately, I think he got hurt against the Indianapolis Colts in their first loss of the season. So for Chris Jones, I mean, basically you could say, I want everything just a shade under, you know, it should be Aaron Donald and then me, you know. And I think he would have clearly an argument in terms of leveraging sort of that level of stature financially and from a compensation standpoint in the league in terms of who he is, you know, already having won a Super Bowl. But there's ways for him to make money down the road, But I'm always interested from his perspective, and I'm just, this is clear, I'm speculating from this moment on. But I think we talked about this before, where what if he could take a 3 to 4 year deal while still being in his prime and get another bite at the apple, with the understanding that, yeah, Mahomes is going to get whatever he's going to get, and there's going to be some moving around in terms of the cap standpoint. But it works out for both you and the team if you take a 3 to 4 year deal and then go back into free agency if you are still dominant. Most people wouldn't do that, but that is a possibility. That is clearly me speculating, but it is a possibility.
Like, it's a possibility of you or I turning down more money to do the same job.
Is it guaranteed, though? The guarantees are...
Let me tell you something.
The guarantees are...
There is absolutely no chance that I'm turning down a raise.
Well, right? I guess I'm saying in this way, like, you're going to get a raise no matter what. You're going to get that Aaron Donald salary. Like, I'm not saying that any of that would go away. Like, it's Aaron Donald, then it's me for the next 3 to 4 years, and then I'm going to come back and see if I can get more money than Aaron Donald or more money than whoever.
But that's the thing. It just doesn't work like that, because the 3 to 4 year thing makes him that much more expensive now, which is where they have the problem. If they can't prorate it out, the signing bonus, which is the majority mm-hmm. of the guaranteed money, mm-hmm. if they can't prorate that out more years, then he becomes more expensive now. But when they have the cap problem.
Right. And now, but I'm saying this is from the speculation is from his side of it, with him and his agents, with the understanding that he's 25, you come back to free agency around 29, you know.
I get that. Yeah. But mathematically, it won't work with the salary cap.
For the Chiefs.
Because if you give him a $30 million bonus on 4 years, it's $7.5 million per year that it's going to count. They love to give the $30 million check and then a $1.5 million veteran yeah, uh-huh. minimum.
Yep.
So he counts $8 million.
Yep.
Right? But if you give him a six-year deal and it's $30 million, same first-year salary, it's $6.5 million. Right? By cutting years off the deal, and generally speaking, those back-end years are the years they're not going to get to anyway.
Right, which is part of, again, this is just speculation for our listeners, but, like, if you're from Chris in his representation standpoint, you know getting to that 6 years is really going to take some health, some faith, like, just being, like, dominant all 5 years leading into the 6 year versus, like, hey, if we just get back to the market at 29 – you know, that's where the friction may occur if we start to get that as we get closer to the draft and closer to, you know, I think they're going to tag him regardless. Like,
well, I think realistically how it's got, they're definitely going to tag him.
Yeah.
I think realistically how it would work is just having the guaranteed money up front. It's going to be 6 years because you need the 6 years to parlay out the number. Mm-hmm. They're up against the cap this year.
Yep.
And so if he's going to be back, it's going to be a 6 year deal so that they can move as much money back
as
against
possible.
The cap
yeah.
as mm-hmm. possible. But I do think the guaranteed number, you know, that's the one that ultimately matters, even if the overall deal isn't as much as Aaron Donald, if it's got more guaranteed money. In all likelihood, no one is likely to reach the last year of a six-year deal except quarterbacks.
Right.
Even those guys
restructure it. But yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Well, restructured or they just old and get cut. Right. And I mean,
right.
Listen, anybody you look at a guy who's not playing quarterback and say, well, in his 10th, 11th, and 12th year in the league, well, you're a fool. Okay. You don't understand the sport mm-hmm. you're dealing with.
Right.
Because those guys are exceptions. As fans, we all want to believe it. But reality is, they start falling off a cliff athletically at 28, 29, and 30 is, generally speaking, a death sentence. There's offensive linemen that can maintain at that level. But other than quarterback, I mean, that's it. Running backs, it's 27 and you're cooked now.
Right.
I mean, it's such a young man's age. Look, Chris Jones has to maximize every nickel he can get on this contract, because another bite at the apple I think is unrealistic, that he'll be holding down this position. You know, 3 years, 4 years, you talk about 4 years from now, he's 31 years old. There's no extra bite of the apple because no one's giving you 6 years.
Right. That's
you're getting just two.
Right. That's if you take the six. If you again, some of this is sort of like...
No, if you take a four, he's 31, right?
No, he's 25 right now. So if you take 4 years, he'd be 29.
No one's giving you a four-year deal at 29. I mean, not one that's really going to be realized, right? It may say 4 years, but there's an out after two. I mean, you're not going to get $100-plus million guaranteed to a 29-year-old defensive lineman. It's not going to happen. I mean, so I that's why I just, you know, listen, he said all the right things.
Yep.
He's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, there just is no scenario. So if he's, let's play it out the way I think it is. No chance that he's back. All right. Very little chance, barring a massive change of asking price. And I personally think there's nothing wrong with his asking price. He just asked at the wrong time. Now it's the right time to ask for Aaron Donald money. In fact, ESPN has a new thing. They measured, their pass blocking and pass rushing rankings. They did it for both team and individuals. And I thought the thing I thought was interesting, and this came out a while ago, but I was thumbing through it again today. Pass rush win rate by team. Chiefs won on the. This is you create a pass rush in under 2.5 seconds.
Right.
That's a defensive win. If they hold for more than 2.5 seconds or block for more than 2.5 seconds, it's an offensive win. So the Chiefs ranked 19th at 41%, right, in their pass rush. That's with Chris Jones. So from that standpoint, you go, well, geez, what the hell is it going to look like without Chris Jones? Right? So there's a reason there to give him. By the way, incidentally, their pass protection rate, where do you think they ranked on the pass protection?
2.5 seconds. I would say top 10, somewhere in there.
14th.
14th?
At 60%.
Wow. Wow, who was
which
one?
To me, yeah, but that listen doesn't mean he's sacked.
No,
it
no,
means
well,
he's got to take off running.
No.
Right. So I thought that was interesting. And then you go to the interior pass rushers. And they guard tackles, guard centers,
yep.
Defense edge rushers, and interior rushers. Where do you think Chris Jones ranks?
It's not high. This is what you're asking.
No. It is. It's
oh,
third.
It is.
I'll
okay.
just tell you. It's third.
Okay,
Aaron Donald won 24% of the time.
Yep.
Grady Jarrett won 22% of the time. And then Chris Jones is third at 19%.
Jarrett was dominant towards the middle of the season. I kind of forget that.
He's really good.
Yeah,
he's really good. The other interior pass rushers in order, and it, you know, goes down the success rate after this, Malik Collins, Quentin Jefferson, Calais Campbell, Ed Oliver, Danico Autry, Matthew Leonidas. I don't know how you say it with the Redskins, and Vita Vea,
mm-hmm.
right? And they get down to 13%, Vita Vea with the Bucks.
Right.
Those are the top interior pass rushers. Mm. But Aaron Donald is still, you know, 5% better, 5% more of a success rate, which actually comes out to roughly, you know, 25 or 26 or 7% better than Chris Jones as far as that pass rush win rate. And Chris Jones greatly improved his run defense,
yes.
which is, to me, what's going to get him paid.
Yes.
Because he's an all-around player
yep.
now. There's no knocking. His whole game, at least this year, and those are the year, that's what you're going to, you know, beat the drum if you're his agent. He had a great all-around game. He's right to ask for Aaron Donald money. And he's not going to be off by far.
Nope.
And the Chiefs aren't going to be able to afford to do it. So someone's going to give it to him. There's too many teams. Like, and if you we talk about Donald at 24%, Jarrett 22, Jones 19, but these are just the top 10. When below him, Collins 16, Jefferson 16, Campbell 15, Oliver 15, Autry 14, Leonidas 13, Vea 13, you know, and then everybody else is below that. Those are the top 10. Nobody on there has two guys, right? No team has two, and there's only 10 teams represented. That means there are 22 teams that are worse than that with their best guy.
Right. And that,
so
and so if you're a fan, if you're listening right now and you're like, they may trade him, look at the rosters of mostly NFC teams who
yes.
the Chiefs will not play next year, and that's the NFC South. So there you go if you want to find a target where GMs – all in Indianapolis can talk to one another about the upcoming league year in March.
Listen, I will stop just short of saying there's no chance that he's back because who knows what kind of renegotiations and different things can go on that I'm not privy to that
right.
I don't know. But barring a number of renegotiations, And I actually think, though, that reality is he's got to go because they need the extra picks and they need more talented, young, cheap players to make this work. And it's not just about next year. It's about on down the road. So I don't know. But let's take a break. Let's talk more. Nate Taylor is with us in studio. Let's talk more about what the biggest need is for the Chiefs, what they've got to come away with. Because I think they will address that in free agency before the draft ever comes along. So let's talk about where their biggest need is. We'll do that next. You're in the program. I'm live in Surprise, Arizona. Nate Taylor back in the studio, brought to you by our friends at Family Leisure, K10 and Ridgeview.
The program with Soren Petrov.
Thanks, Coach.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the good sense, end of the hour answer. Jim Brown, 84 today. Only once in his career did he not win the NFL rushing title. Who won it the year he didn't?
Jim Taylor, didn't he?
Jim Taylor and the Packers, 1962.
Wow.
Yep, very good. Thank you.
I mean, just
thank you.
It's just crushed that pitch.
Yeah, I did. Well, because, you know, Jim Brown being a Syracuse guy, I follow his career, and I've actually had that. Well, who the hell won it the year he didn't? And damn Jim Taylor of the Green Bay Packers was the guy that did it. Good sense what we were playing for. Of course, slicing the meats and cheeses right in front of you. That ain't easy, folks. That makes it more difficult. They don't do it to make it easy. They do it to make it taste better. They bake their bread fresh twice each day. You'll smell that when you walk in the door. It's Good Sense. Order it on your way home today, goodsensesubs.com. And if you're like me and you're part of the loyalty club, you save 10%. Get 10% back every time you order at Good Sense. And, of course, the app is great as well, and it works here in Surprise, Arizona. Locations just a couple of miles from the ballpark here in Surprise, on Greenway, also on Bell Road, and Thunderbird down in Peoria, different spots that you can go and get the Good Sense right here when you come out for some Royal spring training. So don't forget, make sure you got that app on your phone, and of course you can order online, set the time you want, pick it up when you want, or even have them deliver it. Locally owned and operated Good Sense, founded in Lenexa, Kansas, spread even here to Surprise, Arizona, and always one of our regular lunch stops when we're in Surprise is the Good Sense here. Nate Taylor, you heard his voice from The Athletic as he joins us. All right, so biggest need. I know you went through, you're talking linebacker a little bit, but I really think that, to me, you know, best player available, right? At 32, that's what you got to be thinking. You're right, I would trade back. You make a great point, though, about the fifth year. I want to highlight that
a
little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
At 32, that's a reason to stay into the first round, and that's a reason to come up into it when you're at the top of the second round, is if you're adamant about a guy, then it does give you that fifth year that you can hold the hammer on him and make sure that he's part of your team. But generally speaking, I like the idea of getting more picks. And, you know, I'll tell you who's done a great job of it of late is Chris Ballard and the Colts.
Yes, sir.
He you did know, it with Breland
Speed. If his quarterback hadn't retired, you know, it's it could have been a nice, that could have been the divisional round. Honestly, it could have been Colts, you know, Chiefs instead of Colts Texans for two quarters.
I can't remember if I've still got the story up. Somebody spun into the first round from the Colts. Maybe it was the stupid Redskins. They're always pretty dumb, so it probably was. Somebody was recounting that the Colts basically traded God, I wish I could get it so I could give you these numbers. Yeah, here it is. I think I found it here. So the Colts traded hang on, it's a little bit further down. Here we go. Okay, so here it was. Desert Dolphins, last year Washington wanted to move up to draft Montez Sweat. And it offered the Colts its second-round pick and a 2020 second-rounder for the 26th selection.
Wow, that's not even on supposed to be on your chart, Washington.
Right?
Good grief.
Right? Indy took it and turned the 46th pick in last year's draft into the 49th and 144th because they got another later-round pick and 34 this year. All right? So what they ended up doing, because they were patient, It said, independent of the players involved, turning pick number 26 into 34, 49, and 144 is huge value, right? So basically, they get a pick this year that's only 8 spots lower than what they gave up last year.
Yep.
And 2 other picks. So, and from a cap perspective, basically they've got 2 second rounders that'll probably cost less than what pick 26 did. They do lose that fifth round hammer, or that fifth year option, like you talked about, Nate, which is an important distinction.
Yeah,
to me, that's how you play the game.
Right. I would call the fifth year option the D Ford Memorial, because D Ford in his fifth year balled out. And you got a second round pick this year for him. So that's right. The case for the fifth year option. Hey, you never know, but you always have that fifth year to motivate the player and to get production one last time in terms of control of their contract from a rookie wage scale standpoint. But also, you know, if you're taking best player available, and normally I do not do this, but we are here and people want to talk about the draft, I'm sure to some degree. But, you know, our guy that I love dearly at The Athletic is Dan Bergler, and he has the Chiefs at 32, staying at 32, because I think we can't, like, you can't really move guys, teams around. But he has the Chiefs taking Christian Fulton, the cornerback from LSU, and I'm going to read you 2 sentences. If Breshad, okay. If Breshad Breeland ends up being a one and done in Kansas City, the Chiefs should have several cornerback options in the late first round. Fulton didn't have his best performance in the national championship game, but his body of work shows a highly aware cover man who can also stay hip with receivers, presumably in zone to zone, or, you know, zone coverage, basically.
And I like that.
Yeah. So, you know, if you are subscribing to The Athletic, I would check out our draft coverage. It has started without me because, you know, Chiefs went to the Super Bowl and whatnot. But, like, he has graded every position that you think the Chiefs need, whether it's linebackers, interior offensive linemen, which is what me and Curtis talked about during the break. I still am fascinated with tight end because I'm tintillated with the idea of, like, hey, Kelce's still in his prime. Could you get someone who could do similar Kelce-like things in the third round, if that were to happen, much was the case when Kelce was drafted in 2013. So there's I would say 5 or 6 positions that you could really make a good argument for. But I think best player available is always a good spot to start if you want to keep that fifth year option at the number 32 pick. If you want to move down instead of moving up, which is the non-Brett Veach special, if you actually move down, then you can sort of dictate the board or have the board dictate to you what is the position of need that also fits where you've graded them out over the course of the regular season, the combine, and their pro day.
Yes, and I have no problem with tight end, although they found Travis Kelce in the third.
Yep.
Rob Gronkowski was in the second. Aaron
mm-hmm.
Hernandez,
mm-hmm.
never mind, I know it's tough to erase that, but he was in the third. I mean, there are good tight ends in the second and third round.
Yes, yes.
And so I'm with you. I think they need to get to drafting a tight end. I think that's something that they definitely need to do because, one, Travis Kelce's not getting any younger. And if there is a dynamic tight end, what you perceive as the best tight end in this class and a guy who's a talented player is there at 32, then you take him. That's where the best available comes in. And I think the sweet spot that the Chiefs find themselves in and what we're enjoying as Chiefs fans, I just mentioned the Chiefs were 14th in pass block win rate, according to ESPN's new next-gen stats. They were 19th in pass rush win rate. But they're Super Bowl champs.
Yeah, right.
Like, that's what Patrick Mahomes affords you.
Yes.
And so that's why you don't have to go, oh, my God.
We got to go get
this thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not handcuffed. And so if you look at it and you go, look, we had this tight end going 15th, and maybe our biggest need is we're going to trade Chris Jones and we need a defensive lineman. You don't have to do that. You can take what is by far the superior player. The key to me is, and I've said it a million times and I'll say it forever, first rounder needs to start right away unless it's a quarterback. But a first rounder needs to start right away. A second rounder needs to start sometime during that year. And a third rounder needs to start by the beginning of next year. If you do that every year and then you hit one gem in 4, 5, 6, 7,
right,
and then you hit, you know, a couple of special teamers every year, then you're gonna and then, but you still have to be successful in your pro player personnel department. But you're gonna have success.
Mm-hmm.
But to do that, it gets easier when you have more picks. That's number one. just because you have more lottery tickets to try to win with. But the key with that first round pick is to get someone who's going to play right away, you know. And if you took a tight end and you're like, well, the tight end's not going to play over Kelce. Well, he might play right next to him.
Yeah,
you know?
Two tight end sets. Andy Reid loved that in the Alex Smith era of the offense.
Yeah, I don't care who runs out through the lineup of redcoaters. What I care is who plays 80% of the snaps. Mm-hmm. And if 80% of the snaps you go to two tight ends, then that's fine. That guy's a starter for all intents and purposes.
Right.
And so, I mean, I think that's how pick number 32 has to be viewed.
Yeah, and, you know, that's why cornerback seems – pretty situational and on both ends. Hey, maybe this person is the best player available and he fits a need. And that's why I would say linebacker also too, just because, you know, Anthony Hitchens and Damian Wilson are about what you could expect for next season. And maybe Ben Neiman, just because he fits such a key role and he actually fit better in Spagnuolo's role than he did in Bob Sutton's. But maybe those are the three guys you can count on for next year, and everything else is wide open. So if you take a cornerback.
But Damian Wilson's a free agent.
Yeah, that's – well, did he take a one-year deal or a two-year deal? It was a one-year deal.
I thought it was – well, maybe I'm wrong.
I will look this up. But I think his deal was essentially a one-year deal as a two-year deal package, if my memory's correct. But the point is, linebacker or cornerback, that person, like you said, could probably – you draft them and they can play pretty much immediately. And you may say the same thing for – an interior lineman, although Andy Reid likes to bring those guys along a little slower with Andy Heck as their assistant coach.
Club option for basically $3.9 million.
Yeah.
$900,000 to keep. It's actually $875,000 dead money cut, $3.875 to keep. So a $3 million savings if they walk on Damian Wilson. And I think your point about the Iowa kid Iowa linebacker.
Oh, Ben Neiman, yes.
Ben Neiman, I think is a good one because I think Ben Neiman is a ready replacement for Damian Wilson. You've got a guy that you can plug in right there, and I think you feel pretty comfortable with. Different skill set, but at times played over Wilson, obviously, in the passing down, so they like him there.
Yep.
So I think you've got a ready answer. I think Damian Wilson, if he's back, may be on a different contract. Maybe not. Maybe they'll keep him. Maybe that's the group that they want. You know, they really only use a couple of them. And that's reason why.
Right.
You don't play many linebackers, but they do play a big role in special teams, right? Somebody's got to cover kicks.
And
a lot of times it's linebackers in the middle.
Right. And here was my – yeah, here you made one of my 2 points I was going to say in response to that. Dave Tobe was always like, I love linebackers, particularly on special teams, if they know how to handle their assignments. And you know they're good tacklers anyway in space because that's basically their main job. And then two, and this was quiet all year, but I knew it both from the team standpoint and basically what the available market was in if you needed someone in free agency. Those dudes had to stay healthy. They had to stay healthy. There was no body behind them. Now you could say Dorian O'Daniel, where was he? And sure, he played like a couple snaps towards the end of the year, but it was clear that he just didn't fit Steve Spagnuolo's system, or he had not gotten up to speed the way that Spagnuolo had anticipated or desired. So outside of, I mean, they really ran an entire NFL season with three linebackers and Ben Neiman, Damian Wilson, and Anthony Hitchens, and got away with it because all three of them kept their bodies in check for a 19-game
and Ragland
for a 19-game season. Ragland came in week 6, I believe, against Denver and was used for the remaining of the year. But of all those guys, none of them could get hurt because there was really nobody. There was no Mike Pinnell, and I talked to a couple people about this. There was nobody like Mike Pinnell at the linebacker position that the Chiefs could just go sign, and that player was going to make a impact either right away or over the course of the rest of the season. So one of the smaller things that you don't think about, but a thing that really helped them win the Super Bowl, was that all those linebackers stayed healthy this year.
It's a great point. I think you're right. You know, a lot of things got to go your way to win a Super Bowl. But a lot of things didn't go their way. And as we pointed out, they weren't perfect at any spot, yet they were able to overcome any deficiency they had and still win the Super Bowl. Let's talk some more about corner. I do love that, and I do agree that that's a spot that they may very well be looking in this draft. We'll do it. Nate Taylor is with us from The Athletic, big fan of The Athletic. I've got a subscription. I certainly would encourage you to get one as well if you're a big fan. Alec Lewis out here covering the Royals, doing a great job. job. He's all over the place. You can read his work at theathletic.com. I'll take a break. More with Nate Taylor next here in the program.
The Program with Soren Petrov.
Vulgarity is not really good. It's not a real strong part of anybody's vocabulary. It shouldn't be. But there is a time it's the best freaking way to explain yourself.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the Program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petrov with you as we are broadcasting live in Surprise, Arizona, spring training home of your Kansas City Royals. A little college baseball out here today. BYU and Oregon State. The Cougars are greatly outnumbered by the Beavers. Insert your joke here.
I will.
Yeah. Just so you know. I don't know what you're a bigger fan of. Cougars or Beavers? You know.
Or inserting.
It's your story.
You know what I'm a fan
BYU
of?
BYU. Cougars and Oregon State Beavers.
I'm a fan.
Fortuitous matchup for comedians everywhere.
They're all running into each other joke. And
I got it first. No, you did. I got it. Shut up.
Good times. As someone who looks fondly on 2015 as a Kansas City native, I know this. I know people have made this point before me, but I'm going to relish in the idea that the Royals mentally broke the Houston Astros.
They did.
Just mentally broke them.
Crushed them.
Tony Sipp. Crushed them. I still see the face of Tony Sipp going, Correa, what are you doing? Get the ball!
Yes, that,
you know what?
That picture will live on forever.
Tony Sipp just losing his mind.
Tony Sipp shouldn't have hit the ball then.
Because
Tony Sipp altered the trajectory of the ball and made that a much harder play.
Yes.
So he should have gotten his, because they'll tell you, as a pitcher, you're supposed to, and it's a reactionary thing, right?
I was watching
them do reaction drills where they're basically sitting, they put them in front of the backstop, and maybe we'll get some of that video up at some point, but they're hitting the ball at them to practice, like, you know, catching the comebackers. And, you know, it's hard to be like, okay, don't touch the ball. So let's say just let it go and let your fielders make it, but that's such a reactionary, life-preserving reaction to have there. It's tough to not have that. But yes, it is fun to know that the Royals slapped around the Astros in 15. It is the Program here on Sports Radio 810 WHP. Nate Taylor from The Athletic, brought to you by our friends at Family Leisure. Great time to get over there. President's Day sale. Take advantage of it. K10 and Ridge U. I will be there shortly as I need a poker table. But everything you need, shuffleboard. I'd love to have a shuffleboard table too. I had a buddy who had a shuffleboard table. I would like a shuffleboard table, but I need poker first and foremost. One, because the kids want it to do puzzles on. So I'm going to be a puzzle table. So I got that going for me. Anyway, let's talk about corner. You know, you mentioned your buddy there at The Athletic putting corner down for Chiefs. And I think when you're picking 32, best player available at most important spot, right?
Yep.
We've long said you're not taking the top punter at 32, just because he's like the best, you know, he ranks highest opponent. It's, you know, best player available times importance of position. Okay? That's how you arrive at that. And that's where with the linebackers, particularly the way the Chiefs want to play it, I think the linebackers, and you mentioned how, you know, thankfully they were healthy, and they probably do need more depth, but what they really need are really good cover people. Those are corners and safeties. But this team, obviously, with all the corners that are free agents, they need corners. And then they need big people up front. And then offensively, I think they need a wideout. I think they need running back depth. And I think they need interior line. And you can maybe get the best guard or center at 32. The best in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a really good running back at 32. I don't think that's where they'll go. You can get a really good wideout prospect, although I don't know that they'll go there either. But I think corner, D-line, and interior offensive line are one of those three. If it's not a guard, center, D-lineman of some sort, because we know Steve Spagnuolo will scheme with almost any type of defensive lineman, or corner, then I'll be really surprised if they pick any other position but that at 32.
Now, with cornerback, I think the assumption is around the league that it will be easier for the Chiefs to retain Charvarius Ward over Bashaud Breeland, who was very talented, kind of had a weird offseason 2 years ago with the whole foot injury in the Dominican Republic, I believe. The deal was reneged with the Panthers. He had to go to the Packers sort of prove that, like, yes, I'm still an NFL player. And then, you know, basically played at the level that the Carolina Panthers thought he was going to play at when they originally signed him in free agency before he had his whole foot issue. So you're thinking Rashad Fenton, Charvarius Ward, maybe Kendall Fuller, although he may get somewhat expensive too because he's now shown duality in terms of being someone who can play slot corner and safety for you. So there's a need there for corner. And the best part about this is I spent all of last year's combine just circling. It was on my media calendar last day, Fridays and Saturdays. I'm going to talk to every DB imaginable. I'm going to talk to Mullins, and I'm going to talk to Williams, and I'm going to talk to whoever. And then, of course, they, you know, a couple weeks later traded the first-round pick for Frank Clark. But I think it'll be a similar situation where I will be around as many cornerbacks as I can at the combine because you do start to compare body type. Are they good in man? Are they good in zone? Can they play a mix of both? Which is hard to do in college because no – real college system asks you to do that unless you're Juan Thornhill and you're the only good DB on your team at Virginia where they're like, hey, man, cover that guy here. Hey, two plays later, you're going to be back in the safety. Hey, right here, play corner. If they have this formation, meet a slot. So it's hard to ask cornerbacks to do multiple things at the college level and then project that in the NFL level. Usually it's they're really good at one thing, and then can you build off of that in the NFL? So it'll be interesting to see how that comes together. I know people for years have thought that cornerback was going to be what they would prioritize over defensive line. Steve Spagnuolo obviously had a say in that. But they did take Juan Thornhill in the second round last year. So there is some hope that even if they don't take a corner at 32, maybe they can develop another one if you take that position in the second or third round in this draft. But I would think based on the need, the talent that's there, it's a passing league. They're going to take a cornerback at some point, right? They took Rashad Fenton late in the draft, developed him in a way that I never saw coming because, like, he just didn't show anything, mostly through OTAs, mandatory minicamp, and the preseason. And then he was, like, impactful in November, December, and January and played a significant amount of snaps even in the Super Bowl. So sometimes this takes time, but I think they will probably take another cornerback if I had to guess based on their pick allotment for this year.
Yeah, I think there's going to be one taken for sure somewhere in that mix. And at some point, you probably always have some good cover corners you want. You just can't get to them. They come off the board. You know, you have a guy just rated higher, whatever might be the case. But I do think it's miraculous. I think it's one of the most impressive things, the defensive scheme that Steve Spagnuolo and the coverage that they were able to play and to be a top 10 pass defense with really what was a bunch of odds and ends, right? I mean,
yeah, there's
Rashad
no...
Breeland didn't break the bank.
No,
Fuller
no...
was a guy they coveted,
yes,
obviously. But Breeland, Mo Claiborne, Charvarius Ward, who was a you're going to cut a guy for the guy I'm going to cut. That's amazing. What could they be if they got a top shelf corner?
Right, and that's why Jalen Ramsey was so tantalizing and alluring back in September and early October. Can you get somebody, not maybe of his caliber, but someone who you know is top flight talented in the first or second round of this year's draft?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think corner is a good one. There, like I said, I'd be shocked if it's not corner, defensive line, guard, or center. I think that's probably the places you're looking if you're the Kansas City Chiefs. Nate, great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week, I believe, from Indianapolis, right?
Yes, sir, from Indianapolis, the Indiana Convention Center.
Looking forward to it. Nate Taylor from The Athletic. Read his work there, theathletic.com. Great, great, great work all the guys do at The Athletic. We will take a break. We'll come back, go around the country. Two-Minute Drill is next. The program's live in Surprise, Arizona.
The burnt end of the hour question. Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, Michael Jordan is 57 today. Against what team did he have his highest career scoring average? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.